Our scripture this morning is from Psalm 116. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell gat hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord, and righteous, yea, our God is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believed, therefore I have spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee. O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord.
This handout will help you follow the pattern of the sermon, and it's all from Psalms 116. So you can fold it and tuck it in your Bible after today, and use it whenever you need it, because I want to dedicate this sermon to Richard Epperly. I had started this sermon a few months ago, and it helped me so much in dealing with the sadness that sudden illnesses come upon people, and how to help people deal with it. In here, David talks about the characteristics of sickness: discomfort, despair, depression, dependence, despondence, and dread. I even put the verses in there for you. Then he tells us how he responded to sickness, his cry to the Lord. And then he proposes a question that is unbelievable, that what you would even think of during serious illnesses. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits to me? And his answer to what he should render. And I thought it was also ironic how I'm dealing with sickness and suffering, and Steve tells the story of a brick falling on you. That's instant suffering. I'm going to pray that God will direct me in what we say today, and that it will give you information that will help you. Dear God, I ask you to send your Holy Spirit to fill my mouth to say the things that you want me to say. Open the hearts of the people listening that they can receive what you have here in Psalms 116, and guide us in your path till we get to heaven and we're able to take this trip from earth to heaven with you and back again 1,000 years later, and to reign and live with you forever. In thy holy name, amen. When I was thinking about that trip, there's an angel that was in heaven who was a ministry of music, and his name was Lucifer. And he fell from his position, and that position was replaced. And there's going to be some fantastic, not only visual things of what God created for us, there's going to be some fantastic music to our ears that we will get to hear. How to deal with sickness. The loneliness of sickness. Some of you have felt it. Others of you have watched it. There's a lady who described it beautifully after she went through that experience. I have, as a physician, cared for a lot of patients that go through illness, but this person wrote it so vividly, and experiencing it for yourself is worth a million words, not 1,000 words, a million words. Here she says, it's when the lights went out and the room was suddenly plunged into darkness that the awful awareness came. The traffic at the hospital went on like an uncontrolled fever outside the door, but inside the room, it became still. So still that you could sense the walls in the room itself growing smaller. I was never a lonely person until then. At least I didn't recall being lonely, but now I knew what it was. My family had gone home together to that familiar safe place called home, but I was here alone. Isolated from them, facing the uncertainty of what hospitals mean. Up to this moment, I had joked and laughed with friends and family because it all seemed like kind of a lark, but now I knew. And I suddenly swallowed hard against the pressure in my chest. I was a little girl again, wanting someone to put on a light somewhere to cut the darkness so that I could get some sleep. I became terrified by the feeling, and sleep was a long time coming. Hours after trying to push my mind off the emptiness, the fear, the darkness, and now the hospital itself, growing quieter, almost eerie, until there was only silence. If you have been there, you know exactly what she was talking about. I am not sure what was happening to David when he wrote Psalm 116, but he too went through some suffering and sickness in his life, and it expresses his experiences and how he handled his situation. David wrote it describing the physical suffering and hurt, and provides us with an opportunity to listen to David as he describes the emotions he felt as he went through the period of suffering and despondency. First, we notice that David has wonderfully captured the characteristics of sickness. In descriptive terms, David paints the picture of what it is like. Throughout the Psalms, we see it, we hear it, and we can almost feel it. First of all, he describes it as discomfort. In verse 3, he uses the word pain. Pains of hell got hold of me, he writes. C.S. Lewis wrote that God whispers in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, and he shouts in our pain. Pain is God's megaphone to arouse the deaf world. And David says that one of the characteristics is discomfort, it's pain. He goes on in verse 3 to describe it as despair. The sorrows of death entangled me, and the pains of hell got hold of me. I found trouble and sorrow, he wrote. The anguish of the grave came upon me. I was overcome by trouble and sorrow, he wrote. Then in verse 8, he says another characteristic of sickness is kind of depression. He speaks in the 8th verse of his watering in tears and his eyes and his feet stumbling. Characteristics of depression. The lady that wrote of her sickness in the hospital goes on to describe the kind of depression that overtook her as the hospital experience became more vivid in her mind. She said, "Everything about me was on a chart. I wasn't a name except when they had to remind themselves and check my wristband. All of my body chemistries, its mixtures, and everything was on that chart. They knew what my blood was like, what pills I took, and what my elimination habits were. They even knew through a monitoring system how I breathed, how my heart reacted to every move. All of what was supposed to be me was on that chart, bound in a plastic jacket. But no one bothered to get to know me, really. That I was a fun person, a person that liked to laugh or ask me what made me cry or what made me happy. No one seemed to care whether I liked to go fishing or boating or to a baseball game or what kind of food I liked to eat. None of that was relevant. I was not a person, but an object for sticking, for probing, for testing and experimenting. They stood over me, and they hummed, and they grunted, or they sighed, or they whispered in the corner of the room, but seldom did anyone tell me what they were whispering about. It was all so very secret. but it all went on that chart, so I was left to my own imagination of what was wrong, how serious or whether it meant a life of inactivity with my job on the line or becoming a burden to my family. After a while, I sank deeper and deeper into the doldrums. I was strong enough to lick anything that could happen to me, but laying there day after day with my fears playing havoc with my mind and emotions, I was actually reduced to being a little child. One night I let the tears come, and that was a shock to me to realize that I had come to such a place of helplessness and despair and anxiety that I lost control of myself, end of quote. Depression oftentimes is a part of illness, and especially illness that is serious. David says in verse 8 that another characteristic of illness is the kind of depression. He speaks in the 8th verse of the tears of his eyes and of his eyes watering in tears and from his feet nigh unto falling. David goes on to say that along with depression, there's a kind of dependence that you don't like. Notice in verse 6, it says, I was brought low. Dependence brings us to a new low and one we very seldom like. Dependence is also called loss of independence. I don't like to think that there is anything more difficult about the hospital than to recognize that you are no longer in charge of yourself when you get there. As a doctor, I dread of becoming a patient at the hospital because I see the dependence that you need and you leave your dignity at home and you don't take it with you. Someone has said, we that have spent all of our lives learning how to clothe ourselves for the sake of modesty and trying to find the best fashions to dress up, all of that unravels in the mockery of that horrible piece of clothing called the hospital gown. And patients have told me that one thing for sure is that wherever you sit down, it's cold. There's something very undignified at the hospital, and somehow you leave all your dignity behind you and you become totally dependent. And David goes on to say that being sick is being despondent. In verses 10 and 11, he mentions, I was greatly afflicted. And then in my distress, I said, all men are liars. In other words, he was crying out to God and looking at the world as if they had played a mad joke on him and everybody is a liar and nobody is telling him the truth. I can almost hear him cry out, why has God done this to me? Why am I like this? Would someone please explain to me why I have to be where I am, experiencing what I am experiencing? And if you talk to many people who have gone through serious illness, you know as I do that many of them fight in their hearts with all kinds of guilt. There's always someone to come along and tell them that they are sick because of some sin in their life. Oh, how wonderful and helpful it is to liberate people that are punishing themselves in the midst of sickness, even as I believe, as David is doing, as he cries out against the world that seems to be lying to him. And he tells them that there is no reason to feel that emotion and to deal with guilt during times of sickness. There's a poem that describes this whole process. It's called Remembered Sin. I made a lash of my remembered sins. I wove it firm and strong with a cruel tip. And though my quivering flesh shrank from the scourge, with steady arm I applied the ruthless whip. For surely I who betrayed my Lord must needs endure the sting of memory. But though my stripes grew sore, there came no peace, so I looked again to Calvary. His tender eyes beneath the crown of thorns met mine. His voice said, my child, although those oft-remembered sins of thine have been like crimson scarlet, they are now like snow. My bloodshed here has washed them all away, and there remaineth not the least dark spot, nor any memory of them, so should you remember sins which God forgot. I stood there trembling, bathed in light, though scarce my heart dared to hope. His voice went on, "Look at thy feet, my child." I looked, and lo, my whip of remembered sins was gone. If I could say anything to you who may be sick, who may be suffering or sorrowing, I would say that the God we serve is not a God who spends his life retaliating for some past, confessed, and remembered no more sin. And if you choose not to forgive yourself for that which God has forgiven you, then you have elevated your standards higher than those of God. You may say, "I know God can forgive me, but I cannot forgive myself." Oh, you have a higher standard than that of the Lord? If God has forgiven us, we have been forgiven by the highest court of appeal in the land, way higher than the Supreme Court. There's another characteristic of sickness called dread. David says in verse 3, "The sorrows of death compassed me." Verse 8, "For thou hast delivered my soul from death." And certainly death is in the context, for verse 15 says, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." The concept of dread here is in the sense that there is no hope, that there is no other way. I don't know if you've ever heard a person cry who is desperately ill. I don't know if you heard them call out to God, but there is a kind of earnestness and intensity in their prayer that you don't often hear at times. "Oh God, help me." It seems as if David was capturing the characteristic of sickness quite well. What I want you to notice is that he doesn't just describe the situation, he also tells us what he did in the midst of it. We will look at the cry of sickness. There are three things in Psalm 116. The first one is in verse 1 and 2, "I cried and he heard me." I cried and he heard me. Verse 1 says, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice." Verse 2 said, "because he has inclined his ear to me." In my imagination, I can see the person of God leaning over the banisters of heaven to hear the cry of his hurting child. And God listens to us when we cry. It is repeated many, many times in the Old Testament that God did this or that when he heard his people cry, especially when they cry out of sorrow and our sickness and our suffering. The psalmist said, "I cried and he heard me." Notice secondly, verse 7, "I cried and he helped me." "Be at rest once more, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee." In other words, God not only heard me, but he helped me. He dealt with me, and he did it bountifully, above and beyond all that I could think. He gave me what I needed, though it may not have been what I asked for. He dealt with me bountifully. I cried and he heard me. I cried and he helped me. Then notice, thirdly, verse 8, "I cried and he healed me. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eyes from tears, and my feet from falling." Verse 16 adds, "thou hast loosed my bonds." So often people have been hurt, desperately hurt, because someone has told them that it is God's will for everyone to be healed. Though it is not true to say that it is God's will to heal everyone, it is true to say that ultimately everyone will be healed. I'm going to repeat that. Though it is not true to say that it is God's will to heal everyone, it is true to say that ultimately everyone will be healed. Some will be healed here, and some will be healed there in heaven. And it was with that confidence and in that confidence that David exalts the Lord. He says in verse 15, "Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints." Precious. You may say, "What is so precious about death?" Precious in God's sight are his saints that have died in his name. Precious. Well, David goes on now at the end of the psalm, and he told us about the characteristics of sickness, and he told us about his own response to that as he cried unto the Lord, and he heard him, and he cried unto the Lord, and he helped him, and he cried unto the Lord, and he healed him. But now David asks us a question. In verse 12, he poses this question, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What can I learn out of this experience? What should my response be to all this that I endured and gone through? That's a good question, one that we don't often ask. Sometimes we are so obsessed with getting well, we forget that God is trying to teach us something, and we don't ask the right question. David asked the right question, what should I render unto the Lord for his benefits to me? But David, don't you understand that God doesn't need anything from you? Psalm 50, verse 12 says, if I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine and the fullness thereof. What can you give God? David came up with four things. And in the text that begins with the little phrase, I will, notice them as we study them together. First of all, I will remember my promise to him. Verses 14 and 18. Look them up. Verse 14, I will fulfill my vows unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Verse 18, he repeats, I will fulfill my vow unto the Lord in the presence of all his people. Notice, David repeats that phrase. David said, what I will give to God is the promise of my heart. I will pay my vows. I have heard many, many vows over the years that people have made to God for their healing in their sick bed. Oh, if you raise me up off this sick bed, I will. And then when health comes, the promise that is made in the shadow, they forget in the sunlight. An example of this is a story from World War II. Soldiers in the military wrote letters to their parents or loved ones. The chaplain who was responsible to censor the mail was unable to read them until after the battle that had taken place, and when he did, he found two letters in the same handwriting. One letter had been written before and after the brief but intense battle. In the first letter, the young soldier was writing to his mother, I vow to God, if I come through tomorrow, I'm going to be a better man. The second letter was written after the danger was over and addressed to a friend in another regiment. I have just come through a scorcher up front. If you can get leave and meet me in Paris, boy, will we go out on the town. That vow that had been made in the face of danger had been quickly forgotten. David said, I will render unto the Lord. This is what I shall render. I will pay my vows unto the Lord. I'll remember my promises to God. Number two, I will render my love to him. It is interesting how love is woven throughout this chapter on sickness. Verse 1, I love him, I love the Lord. Verse 2, I will call upon him as long as I live. Verse 9, I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. And verse 16, I am truly thy servant, O Lord. One's love shown to another is a real thanks to them as it is to God. Number 3, David said in verse 17, I will return my thanks to him. I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. I will call upon the name of the Lord. It's hard to be thankful in the midst of suffering, sorrow, and sickness. But David said, that is what I shall do. I shall be thankful. I will give thanks unto thee. Number 4, David said in verse 13, I will receive his great salvation. I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. Would it be a bad thing if God allowed someone to be physically ill and to jeopardize their temporal life so that in the jeopardy of their temporal life, he could get them to accept eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord? You say, well, I don't think it's a very good thing to have to judge, and probably from the perspective we have in the temporal life, that is true. But ask me that question in heaven and let me answer it then. Heaven is cheap enough. In the Midwest, there was this young lady by the name of Susan Leonard Johnson, who in 1977 found out she had terminal cancer and she died of it. She wrote a poem about her experience that repeats what David is saying here. In conclusion, I want to share it with you. It illustrates better than anything I've ever seen that which we think is a negative factor in our life, suffering, sorrows, and sickness. And we dread it, and we keep our hands out to push it away from us. But though it isn't fun, and though it isn't something we look forward to, and though it isn't something we ask for, oftentimes it is something that God does for us instead of to us. And she describes her journey with the Lord in her place, that pain and sorrow and suffering had in her experience. Here it is. When I was just a child of 5, I learned about my Lord. I never shouted, "Prove it," and never felt ignored. My hands were always folded in innocent belief. It was easy to be humble, him above and me beneath. There was no cause or question to complicate this view. I would often hear him whisper, "Oh, my child, I do love you." When I was 1 and 20, I learned about my world. How wise I'd grown. I had outgrown God. My future was unfurled. "Lord, you know me so well," I would pray. "I don't need you anyway." How soon I am 1 and 30. My life is such a bore. I am falling short of everything, and life is such a chore. I have so much, I've done so much, the emptiness is wrong. There is no God, my logic cries. I knew it all along. "Lord, I doubt and cannot pray one bit. I will not be a hypocrite." Now I am 4 and 30, and the void is magnified. I don't understand at all how desperately I've tried. Disease has made its debut, and I scream that it's unfair. I am given only one more year, and I sink in sheer despair. My girls are small and I'm so young. They say there is no hope. The fear is so consuming. Please, someone help me cope. "Lord, could that be you that knocks again? Forgive me, Lord. Oh, please, come in." Gathering up the burdens, he said, "This is about my strife. You've been dead for 30 years, and now I'll show you life. Today I'm 5 and 30. What a blessed year it's been. The fear has changed to utter peace. There's happiness again. What time unfolds, I do not know, but that's not my concern. Once again, by grace, I humbly trust a precious lesson learned. Lord, I give my all, myself to you. Oh, my child, I love you too." Dead for 34 years until she got cancer. And then by God's grace, she became alive. If you have the perspective of eternity, what would you choose? Unfortunately, you don't have that chance to choose from eternity's perspective. You have to choose from the perspective you have right now. I want to ask you, will you choose eternal life in Jesus Christ? God wants to save you so much. Don't waste the years of hell to come alive. Choose God today. Join Jesus for eternity. Let's bow our heads. Dear God, thank you for everything you've given us. Thank you for life, and even thank you for the illnesses you give us, because you have trying so hard to reach us, to bring us in reconciliation with you so that we can go home with you. And we accept what you have done for us, whether it's healing or saying, "Wait, I have a better plan." And we want to put our trust in you completely. In thy holy name, amen.